You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, last night I told you about a book written by Martin Keating, Governor of Oklahoma Frank Keating's brother. The book has not been published yet, although it was written 7 years ago. It has been reviewed on television and radio as manuscript form due to what they call the extraordinary coincidences contained in the book which relate to the Oklahoma bombing. Coincidences. I better not say it. The name of the book is The Last Jihad. The Last Jihad. And a lot of the major publishing companies are trying to bid on it, to publish it, so that they can make millions of bucks from this coincidence.
Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows that the fight was fixed. The poor single rich get rich. That's how it goes.
Everybody knows. The most extraordinary thing about Martin Keating's book, ladies and gentlemen, is it talks about a band of terrorists operating in Oklahoma who blow up a federal building, and one of them is named Tom McVeigh, who is caught while speeding away from the bombing on an Oklahoma highway by a police officer. It's too much. The arrogance is too much. I can't handle this. They really think that we are nothing but a nation of stupid fools. Amazing. You think there's no New World Order? You think there's not a police state coming? I have received the entire anti-terrorist bill passed by the Senate in its complete form. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, if you allow that to be passed in the House, or allow the House version to be passed, or allow any version of either one of these two to get all the way through Congress and sit upon the President's desk for a signature, it is over. It is over. It is history. You can bend down and kiss your sweet cheeks goodbye. Because just like Hitler, Clinton will round up every single political enemy of socialism, and world government will be a reality literally overnight. This is an exact duplicate of the legislation introduced by Hitler to the Reichstag after the burning to transfer the power of the people to the president. Now, if you don't believe it, get your own copy. But you better start calling every senator and every single member of the House of Representatives. And if you have been subscribing to Veritas, you have no excuse not to, because we gave you every single address and phone number and fax number of every single person in Washington, D.C. in that newspaper. And you had better stop this, because the only way to stop what's coming after this is passed, you don't want to know. It's unbelievable what's contained in there, folks. And I'm not going to read it to you tonight. I'm just going to tell you that everything is gone. Habeas corpus, the right to everything. They can even tell you how much money you can spend. Spendable income. If you spend more than that, you're a terrorist or a drug dealer or something. This is the most draconian piece of legislation I've ever seen in my life. Everything is outlawed. They can arrest you, take you off the streets with no explanation, no charges, and put you in jail forever with no trial. No nothing. They don't even have to tell anybody they did it. They can use the military. You don't think they will? Listen to this. From Gregor in New York City. The New York Daily News on the 2nd of June reported donations to the New York Police Department by the United States Navy of a torpedo retriever named the Labrador, one-third the size of a football field, which the New York Police Department will convert to a floating command center. Monday of that week, the New York Police Department used a tank-like vehicle, an armored personnel carrier, to evict squatters from an abandoned building on East 13th Street. Also donated to the New York Police Department by the United States Navy was 1,100 gas masks, probably an equal number of Kevlar helmets, two armored vehicles, and much, much more. Since the merger of the Transit Police, the Housing Police, with the New York Police Department, manpower is now 38,000 officers, with former U.S. Attorney and U.S. Justice Department strategist Rudy Giuliani at its head. And that's that's just a little bit, folks. And 70% of those people don't even live in New York City. So they're not going to feel sorry for you when they squash you like a bug. Benjamin Franklin said, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." Is anybody out there listening? Hello? Hello? Is anybody home? One ring-a-dingy. Two ring-a-dingy. Hello, operator. Any man who has the brains to think and the nerve to act for the benefit of the people of the country is considered a radical by those who are content with stagnation and willing to endure disaster. Who said that? One of the masters of propaganda, created an entire war by himself by printing stories in his newspaper. His name is William Randolph Hearst. Earl Warren said, "A republic is not an easy form of government to live under, and when the responsibility of citizenship is evaded, democracy decays and authoritarianism takes over." He wrote that in a book called A Republic, If You Can Keep It. It's on page 13. The title is taken from a famous quote of Ben Franklin. who, when he came out of the Constitution Hall in Philadelphia, was asked by a man on the street, a newspaper man, "Hey, Ben, what have ye wrought?" His reply was, "A republic, if you can keep it." If you will not fight for the right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory will be sure and not too costly, you may come to the moment when you will have to fight with all the odds against you and only a small chance of survival. There may even be a worse case. You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves. I didn't say that. Winston Churchill did. You see, folks, thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the probable reason why so few engage in it. Henry Ford said that. You see, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it. Daniel Webster said that. By the way, you should read everything you can get your hands on that Daniel Webster ever wrote. For the only thing necessary, ladies and gentlemen, for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Edmund Burke said that. They that give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety, and you know the rest. If a nation or an individual values anything more than freedom, it will lose its freedom. And the irony is that if it is comfort or money it values more, it will lose that too. W. Somerset Maugham said that. And Martin Niemöller said this, and you had better listen to it. You had better listen to this very carefully. In Germany, they came first for the Jews. And I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. Then they came for me. And by that time, no one was left to speak up. Government doesn't do anything illegal, wrong, immoral, unethical, or bad. Mm-mm. Now, somehow Americans have it in their ideas that no one in government could ever do anything wrong, bad, immoral, unethical, criminal. But at the height of the Cold War in the 1950s, the government, you see, was looking for people who could do a good job of body snatching. Did you know that? Have you checked your relatives' graves lately to make sure they're still in there? Body snatching. To help scientists learn more about the effects of radioactive fallout. They also experimented with live people who are dying like flies today from all sorts of cancer. Details of the worldwide search for dead bodies by the Atomic Energy Commission emerged Wednesday in newly declassified documents obtained by the Presidential Advisory Committee on Human Radiation Testing. It was unclear, folks, how many sets of remains were gathered through a network of Atomic Energy Commission operatives. Ghouls are now called operatives by the United States government. But investigators for the advisory panel said the number may have totaled as many as 1,500 cadavers. That's dead bodies. You remember Uncle Harry? Yep, that's Uncle Harry. 1,500 cadavers in the United States and a half dozen other countries from Europe to Australia. Codenamed Project Sunshine. Can you believe this? A little cutesy Project Sunshine name. Nobody will ever guess that we're really ghouls going out in the midst of night to the graveyard. Oh, the Baron von Frankenstein would be so proud of us. Project Sunshine. The body collection was given top priority at the Atomic Energy Commission as the government sought to learn the extent of radioactive fallout from bomb tests and what effect the contamination was having on humans in the United States and elsewhere. Gee, it's too bad I was just a kid then, because if they'd have hired me, I'd have just taken them by the hand right over to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and I'd have shown them what radiation does to people. These searches, these ghoulish midnight forays, which focused particularly on urban areas and among the poor, were cloaked in secrecy. Well, I'd have never thought it. Doctors and relatives were told little or nothing about the purpose of the bone and tissue tests, according to documents released by the advisory panel. Human samples are of prime importance. If anybody knows how to do a good job of body snatching, they will really be serving their country. Willard Libby of the University of Chicago, one of the program's chief proponents, remarked at a secret 1955 Atomic Energy Commission meeting. A transcript of the January 18, 1955 meeting of the AEC's Division of Biology and Medicine was recently found by staff members of the Advisory Committee on Human Radiation Testing and Declassification. You know, the AEC is hiding a lot of other things. Do you know that Groom Dry Lake comes under the jurisdiction of the AEC? So do a lot of other secret areas that have absolutely nothing to do with atomic energy, or atomic testing, or atomic bombs, or atomic anything. At the meeting, participants called for the searches, which had begun in 1953, to be accelerated in light of the detonation in 1954 of a much more powerful hydrogen bomb in the Pacific. These tests, they say, intensified the need to learn more about radioactive fallout. How about that, folks? The searches were alluded to in scientific literature as early as 1957. Folks, these people will do anything. They'll do anything. Anything. Don't believe me? No world government. Check this, folks. Russian and United States firms are going to design a fighter jet that's going to be used by the United States. Now, if you were a pilot, would you feel safe flying a fighter jet that was designed and built by a Russian? I certainly wouldn't. I wouldn't get in the damn thing. You couldn't put me in there with a shoehorn. London. This is from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, June 22, 1995, Dateline London. Russian and American aerospace companies have teamed up to design a multi-purpose fighter for the 21st century, Jane's Defense Weekly reported Wednesday. Now, they're going to design a multi-purpose fighter for the 21st century. The Moscow-based Yakovlev Design Bureau has joined the Lockheed Martin Company of Bethesda, Maryland, in the project to build an advanced attack jet for the United States military. Boy. And what do you think this is all about, folks? You really think the Russians would be helping us build a top-secret fighter jet if we could ever get in some kind of a conflict and we were going to be flying the jet? Doesn't say it's for the Russians, although I know that they'll be flying it too, because it's really for the United Nations peacekeeping force that will be the police force for the New World Order. Don't believe that's going to happen. Don't believe that the United States military could blatantly break the law and scare the hell out of citizens and do illegal things in cities. Well, how about this, folks? Top secret strafing wakes whole suburb. This is from the Chicago Sun-Times, Tuesday, June 13, 1995. Listen to this. It was another quiet summer night in the suburbs. The first thing I heard was the helicopters and the explosions, said Michelle Valenta of Des Plaines. Helicopters and explosions? In Des Plaines, Illinois? In Chicago? Are you crazy? Toward midnight, I ran to the window. Explosions, helicopters flying off north and south. That's when the gunfire started. Gunfire? In Chicago? In the middle of the night? Are you kidding? Then another helicopter comes swooping in from the north. It came in so low the trees were swaying. Does this happen often in Des Plaines? She says, we're near the state police. A lot of us called. Nobody would tell us anything. It went on for nearly an hour. It was terrifying. Can you help us? A call was placed. Many calls were placed. The Des Plaines police said they never heard of it. And so did the Illinois State Police. Then a trooper said, quote, it was some sort of SWAT thing, multi-jurisdictional, but we can't talk about it, end quote. Can't talk about it? There's helicopters flying treetop level, firing down at homes and streets in Chicago, and they're dropping explosions? And you can't talk about it? When asked who could talk about it, he answered, the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense? Conducting a war on Chicago in the middle of the night? Well, more calls were placed. And this is what Mike Sienda of the Department of Defense finally had to say. Quote, it was a routine exercise, end quote. It was a routine exercise. It was a routine exercise. And he's right, because it's happening all over the United States. You never hear about it unless somebody like me gets hold of it, because it never gets on the national news. It is a crime. It is illegal. It scares people half to death. It violates the FAA rules to the max. And how do those people know that it's a routine training exercise? And I got to tell you, folks, if this happened in my neighborhood, there would be people out there shooting back. Who are these people in Chicago that allow helicopters fly at roof level and treetop level and shoot at them and drop explosives in their streets and scare the living hell out of them, and they don't do anything except call somebody? Listen to me, Department of Defense. Try it in my neighborhood and see what happens. Now I'm going to give you some good advice. Don't do it. Don't you dare do it. Because we're not stupid and we're not sheep here. And if you're stupid enough and come and tell us that you're going to conduct a routine training exercise at rooftop level in our town and shoot at us and drop explosives in our streets, you've got another thing coming. And that's probably why you didn't tell those people in advance. They would have told you to go where the sun don't shine real quick. And that's exactly what we would do. Are you crazy? Fly over a major city and start shooting at people at treetop level from helicopters, darkened, blackened, with no lights, no identification, no prior warning, no knowledge. People running in the streets screaming.
trying to call, and the police say they don't know anything about it. And that's not the worst part. The police didn't even show up. And who authorized this? Norman Schwarzkopf? Or was it that Nazi Kashvili? Or whatever the hell his name is. The answer was military police. We were hosted by the Illinois State Police. It was routine training. We do it all the time, they said. Did you announce it to anyone beforehand? Most of the time we don't announce it, was the answer. We just go out and do it. Well, that's always good to know, folks. Let me tell you something. You do it over the wrong neighborhood, you're going to get a lot of people killed. You are stupid, irresponsible, and whatever officers authorize anything like that should be cashiered, court-martialed, and stuck in the lowest damn dungeon that we can find. I want everybody to start calling the Pentagon and the Illinois State Police and tell them what you think about this, because it's happening all over the country. And if you've been listening to this broadcast for very long, every time that we get our hands on the information, we tell you about it. Here's another one from the Chicago Sun-Times, Wednesday, June 14th. One suburb conquered. Army invades Lamont. By Zay N. Smith, staff writer. And look at the response of the Chicago Sun-Times. These are just little articles. All this emphasis and comments are mine, folks. The paper doesn't give a damn either. It was midnight Sunday that military helicopters and gunfire sent Des Plaines residents running into the streets. Kapow, kapow, kapow. Was the most frightened I've ever been in my life, Michelle Valenta said. Routine exercise, the Defense Department said. U.S. forces struck the suburbs again on Monday toward midnight near Lamont. There were these unlit helicopters crisscrossing the rooftops in nearly an hour of explosions like quarry blasting, enough to rattle our windows, said Ken Cusera, Jr. of Lamont. Mike DiCanio of Homer Township joined neighbors running into the street. I actually thought one of the refineries was going up, he said. Okay, fun's fun. What is going on? Routine training exercise, said Mike Sienda of the Defense Department. That's what you said before. This sounds more like 7 days in May and June. All right, here's what I can tell you. It was military training for the aviation elements from the United States Army Special Operations Command headquartered at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. You came nearly 700 miles to invade Des Plaines in Lamont? Oh, it was a navigational exercise. What? With gunfire and explosions? Machine guns and gunners hanging out the doors of helicopters firing at the residents down in the streets? And even if they were blanks, they didn't know it. There was some of that too, he says. Why didn't you tell people about it? We didn't want to attract attention, was his reply. Didn't want to attract attention? Helicopters sitting on people's roofs? Firing at people in the streets, dropping explosive charges, and you didn't want to attract attention? Where was the second exercise? A seminary, he answered. A seminary? You know, they have an abandoned seminary out there. Why are you doing this here? The answer, folks, and listen to this answer, because he's telling the truth now. It gives the pilots a chance to train in an urban environment. You see, they'll be back someday with real bullets and door-to-door searches. Don't believe it? From the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Army training exercise too real for Chicagoans, Washington. And this... Swooping helicopters. Midnight gunfire and explosions near their homes unnerved residents of the Chicago suburb of Lamont earlier this month, conjuring images of a terrorist attack. If you'd have done it over my neighborhood, there would have been a terrorized citizenry on attack. It sounded like dynamite going off, one local resident said. It went on for nearly an hour. It was frightening, another said. Some were not mollified when informed by 911 dispatchers or in news accounts that the eruptions were caused by Army Special Forces and Rangers up from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, on a training mission. Ed Kosiarski, editor of the local newspaper, The Daily Southtown, said the midnight raid triggered unhappy associations for some residents. Said the midnight raid triggered unhappy associations for some residents. He had calls from people who were terrified, he said. People mentioned Oklahoma City, and there are also these goofy stories going around about unmarked helicopters flying around. People were fairly upset. No, folks, there's no unmarked helicopters flying around, and they never attack cities, and they don't fire at Americans without warning and drop explosives in American streets. No, what's the matter with you? You must have been listening to Bill Cooper. On behalf of shaken subscribers, local papers harumped with pieces headlined, Army Invades Lamont, Bombs Away, among others. Military assault helicopters flying low over the rooftops. The dreadful din of automatic weapons fire and bombs. Is this Bosnia or the Chicago suburbs? One editorial read. What are these, a bunch of fools? Or are these real red-blooded Americans? What the hell is going on here? Why wasn't it on the 6 o'clock evening news on CBS, NBC, ABC, and the Communist News Network? Special operations units from Fort Bragg took advantage of plans to demolish St. Vincent de Paul Seminary in the suburbs south of Chicago to conduct urban warfare training, complete with helicopters, small arms fire, and explosive charges. We have to train in urban areas, said Colonel Ken McGraw of Army Public Affairs at Fort Bragg. If you look back to Somalia, you can see the need for us to do this. You stupid jerk. This is America. You don't do this to Americans. Who the hell are you, Colonel Ken McGraw? He's an Army Public Affairs officer. He is a parrot. He walks in front of the cameras and tells the cameras what his general told him to say. That's who he is. He's an airhead public affairs parrot. About 125 troops and several helicopters took part in the training mission, he said. There was concern that this exercise was being held too soon after the Oklahoma City bombing. Too soon! It should never have been held at all under any circumstances in any American city by any arm of any military force in this country. Under any circumstances whatsoever, there is no excuse. Period. In an environment where a growing number of people have mistrust for military intrusions into civilian life, said a military official who asked not to be named. I can tell you that was one of our concerns, Colonel McGraw said. We, military public affairs, tried to alert them to some increased sensitivity. The decision was made to go ahead. Listen to me, you fools. One of these nights, somebody's going to shoot you down. A lot of your people are going to get killed because not all Americans are stupid sheep fools. And they don't all just run down the block screaming with their hands over their ears when helicopters come and door gunners are sitting there with a machine gun shooting at them. Many of us will shoot back. We don't know that you have blanks. We don't know anything about what you're doing when you don't tell us. And even if you tell us, we're not going to let you do it. Now, if you people let this go by, if you don't give the Pentagon holy hell over this, then I'm never going to tell you when it happens or where it happens again. I'm going to let you get what you deserve. I am sick of the stupidity, the apathy, the ignorance, and the downright airheadedness of most people in this. We've been warning you for so long, it is pathetic. I can't even remember when I started, and it's like I am talking to a telephone pole. Is there anybody out there who knows what time it is? McGraw identified the units as aviation and ground units with the Special Operations Command. Others said they included elite army assault forces such as Rangers and Special Forces troops. Efforts were made to alert the local populace shortly before baloney. No efforts. This is a blatant lie. There were no efforts to alert the local populace. The police and the state police were told not to tell the populace what was going on until after the fact. And that's what happened. Yet the police and the state police did know. He says, "We don't want to disturb any of the civilian population. These are the people we are here to protect. And as taxpayers are our bosses," he said. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the military conducted joint training exercises under the multi-jurisdictional task force with local and state police, which is a blatant violation of the Constitution of the United States of America and the Posse Comitatus Law. But military and state officials will deny it. And most of you will believe it, just like always. Listen to this very carefully. Scoot up next to your radio. I don't want you to miss a word. I don't want you to miss anything. I have told you over and over and over again for years. I wrote it in my book. My book's been in print for years. That this is a Nazi thing. The Nazis are coming. Socialism. Nazi means National Socialism. The Nazi Party was called the National Socialist Workers' Party. Do you understand what I'm telling you? There is no such thing as oppression on the right. There is no such thing as Nazis on the right. There are no fascists on the right. A scale measures opposing states. All the way on the left, you have total control. All the way on the right, you have absence of any control. All the way on the left, it's called communism, where the state owns and controls everything, even you and even your underwear. It's where you pretend to work and they pretend to pay you. It's where if you say the wrong word, you disappear forever. It's where they have millions and millions of people in labor camps doing slave labor. It's where pogroms are held and whole populations are murdered, slaughtered one by one. Any political opposition is murdered. All the way on the right is total absence of control. It's called anarchy. Anarchy is terrible. It means if I see your shirt and I want it, I just shoot you in the head and take it and nobody cares. Except you and your dead. In between is the range between these two things. Just above communism are Nazis. Somewhere in the middle is a republic, which is the United States of America. This is not a democracy, never was never intended to be. If you don't believe it, read the writings of our forefathers who warned us against democracy. During the past several months in the American press, the Democrats have frequently denounced the Republicans and other people on the right, the militias, patriots, Christians, as Nazis. As Nazis, due to their attempt to control runaway federal spending. How very ironic. I remember the Nazis, and let me share with you a little about them and recall some of their exploits. This appeared in the Arlington, Washington Times on June the 7th. It's a letter to the editor, and I'll tell you who wrote it at the end. Listen to every word, ladies and gentlemen. You're not going to believe what you hear, but it is absolutely true. During the past several months in the American press, the Democrats have frequently denounced the Republicans and everybody else on the right, militia, patriots, Christians, as Nazis due to their attempt to control runaway federal spending. How very ironic. I remember the Nazis. Let me share with you a little about them and recall some of their exploits. First of all, Nazi was gutter slang for the verb to nationalize. To nationalize. The Biedermeierhof gang gave themselves this moniker during their early struggles. The official title of the Nazi Party was the National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany. Hitler and the Brown Shirts advocated the nationalization of education, health care, transportation, natural resources, manufacturing, distribution, and law enforcement.
Hello, anybody home? One ringy-dingy. Two ringy-dingy.
Does that ring any bells for you folks? Let me continue. Hitler came to power by turning the working class, unemployed, and academic elite against the conservative republic. After Der Führer's election, the Nazi Party ceased being a political conspiracy and was transformed into a fashionable social phenomenon. Party membership was especially popular with educators, bureaucrats, and the press. Being a Nazi was politically correct. They called themselves, quote, and this is an exact quote, the children of the new age of world order, end quote, and looked down their noses at everyone else. As Hitler accrued more power, he began referring to his critics as, quote, the dark forces of anarchy and hatred, end quote. Anyone who questioned Nazi high-handedness in the German press was branded a, quote, conservative reactionary, end quote. Joseph Goebbels, Minister of Communications, proclaimed, and I quote exactly, quote, a new world order, end quote. The Nazi reign of terror began with false news reports on the radio and in the newspapers. Paramilitary groups of Poles, Jews, Bohemians, and Gypsies were said to be arming themselves to overthrow the, quote, New World Order, end quote, and Hitler demanded that all good people register their guns so that they wouldn't fall in the hands of terrorists and madmen, and that's a direct quote, quote, fall in the hands of terrorists and madmen, unquote. Right-wing fanatics of the old order who protested firearms registration were arrested by the SS and put in jail for fomenting hatred against the government of the German people. Then the Reichstag, that was the government building, was blown up and Hitler ramrodded an emergency anti-terrorist act through Parliament that gave the Gestapo extraordinary powers. The leader then declared that for the well-being of the German people, all private firearms were to be confiscated by the Gestapo and the Wehrmacht, which was the federal law enforcement and the military. German citizens who refused to surrender their guns when, quote, the jackboots, end quote, Gestapo came calling were murdered in their homes. By the way, the Gestapo was the Federal Marshal Service of the Third Reich. The SWAT team was invented and perfected by the Gestapo to break into the homes of the enemies of the German people. When the Polizei, Bewaken, or local police, refused to take away guns from townsfolk, they themselves were disarmed and dragged out into the street and shot to death by the SA and the SS. Those were the Nazi versions of the BATF and the FBI. When several Lutheran ministers spoke out against these atrocities, they were imprisoned and never seen again. The Gestapo began to confiscate and seize the homes, businesses, bank accounts, and personal belongings of wealthy conservative citizens who had prospered in the old republic. Pamphleteers who urged revolt against the Nazis were shot on sight by national law enforcement and the military. Gypsies and Jews were detained and sent to labor camps. Mountain roads throughout Central Europe were closed to prevent escape of fugitives into the wilderness and to prevent movement and concealment of partisan resistance fighters. Public schools rewrote history, and Hitler youth groups taught children to report their parents to their teachers for anti-Nazi remarks. Such parents disappeared. Pagan animism became the state religion of the Third Reich, and Christians were widely condemned as right-wing fanatics. Millions of books were burned first, and then people. Millions of them burned in huge ovens after they were first gassed to death. Unmarried women were paid large sums of money to have babies out of wedlock and then given medals for it. Evil was declared as being good, and good was condemned as being evil. World order was coming, and the German people were going to be the peacekeepers. Yes, indeed. I remember the Nazis, and they weren't Republicans, or right-wing, or patriots, or militias. They were socialists, and they were monsters. And this letter was written by Thomas Colton Rutherford from Arlington, Washington. Did any of that sound familiar to you? It is word for word what is happening today in the United States of America. As I have told you many, many times before, what happened in Germany during Hitler's rise to power is exactly what is happening in the United States of America today. And if you don't want to believe it, and if you want to sit on your lazy sheep butts until they come and drag you out in the street and shoot you, then you go ahead and do it. There's a lot of us who ain't gonna be there with you. Got that? This was sent by Tony Fusco, retired sergeant of the Philadelphia Police Department. It's entitled, "They Killed All Those Little Children." Listen to this. I'm not a good singer tonight. Sometimes I can carry a tune and sometimes I can't. But I ain't no Nelson Eddy. I used to have great respect for the leaders of this land, for federal law enforcement and the courts
in which they'd stand. But now their oath means nothing. To them, we're the enemy. And if you'll just take the time to look, it's really plain to see. They killed all those little children, killed the mothers and fathers too. And if they're not brought to justice someday, they will be coming after you. Yes. Someday, they will be coming after you. Before they even went there, propaganda was turned on to demonize those people who had done nothing wrong. Herr Goebbels would be proud of the truth of lies they claim. For the way we let this go on, we should hang our heads in shame. They knew their manual warned them, don't use CS gas inside. They knew if used in high heat, it would give off cyanide. But they didn't come to save them. They wanted them all dead. So on TV, the nation saw mass murder by the feds. I used to have great respect for the leaders of this land, for federal law enforcement and the courts in which they'd stand. But now their oath means nothing. To them, we're the enemy. And if you'll just take the time to look, it's really plain to see. They killed all those little children, killed the mothers and fathers too, and if they're not brought to justice someday, they will come for you. Yes, someday they will be coming after you. Most people really don't care until somebody does come after them. And remember the man who wrote about Germany? He wasn't a Jew and he wasn't a Catholic. He wasn't a gypsy. So when they came after those people, he did nothing. He said nothing. And then finally, when they came after him, there was no one left to stand or to say something. The patriot, in times of great change and in times of need, is reviled, is said to be some wacko, insane kook. Until things get so bad that all the dummies that called him a kook want to join in, and then it's too late. There is not and never has been and never will be any connection of those who bombed the federal building in Oklahoma City to any militia or patriot group in this country. The only people who benefited are the FBI, BATF, military, and Bill Clinton, the New World Order, and the United Nations. This great media attack upon patriots and militia members and Christians and Republicans and radio talk show hosts is exactly what Hitler did in Germany when they blew up the Reichstag. And you had better damn well come to grips with that, and you had better do it right now. They must scare you out of your patriotic duty. They must ostracize patriots and patriot groups and anyone who appears to be loyal to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, to the nation. These people must be destroyed by the socialist New World Order, or there won't be any socialist New World Order. And those of you who allow this to happen will be the first ones who will be the healthy slaves under this new socialist order. If you want to know what's coming, look at Nazi Germany. And if you're one of these who think that it's going to be some great white nation, and you're going to be the kings because you're white, you better think again. You'll be lucky if they let you be a prison guard or the guy that digs the latrine. Good night. I love you all, and you better understand that, or I wouldn't be doing this. For my butt is hanging so far out over the cliff that it'll probably never be recovered after everything comes tumbling down. And God bless you all.
To the end of love.